Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I'm Javier.
And this week we're looking at the career of Molly Holly. This is take two of us starting the podcast, but we're starting it off. We're talking about Molly Holly this week. An interesting career, I'd say.
Yeah, almost as interesting as me getting called by the U.S. Census, even though I already filled mine out.
Everybody fill out your census.
Yeah, everyone fill out your census, especially if you live in an impoverished neighborhood, because they give money to those neighborhoods.
And those monies, they need the, or I almost said those monies need the neighborhood. Those neighborhoods need the money. It has been a long day for me already, but we're recording this on a Wednesday, recording it early. I'm off all weekend, so recording it early.
Evan's having a good time. You know what else was a good time? This Molly Holly episode, because Molly Holly, good hand.
That is probably the best description for Molly Holly. It's a good hand. And I think that's a term that gets thrown around as like a bad thing. As somebody who's like just a solid performer, like a solid worker. Molly Holly was great. Like, she was a good hand.
Yeah, I mean, she was... It's obvious to see, especially, you know, in a couple of these matches where, she's just better than the women she's working with. But clearly, like, you know, there's like... You always need someone who can help other people be better, but doesn't really have what it takes to be the superstar.
You need somebody who those stars can work with, learn from, learn the really like the brass tacks of it all, and put it all together. Like, she built Trish up, she built Victoria up, she built all these other women up by being a steady hand.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Cassius Ohno was kind of like the turnstile of NXT for a while there. Unfortunately, I love Chris
the
Hero.
Gatekeeper, yes.
Yeah, he was in one of my favorite tag teams of all time with Cesaro and ROH. But unfortunately, his singles career wasn't as luxurious as you would have wanted it to
especially be. Especially in NXT. Like, it just wasn't what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I thought Molly had a good run for herself. I thought the later portion of this episode specifically, but also like her career, was, you know, there was a lot of good heel work there. There was a lot of just overall good wrestling on her part, and I mean, it's really clear to see how women progressed going up against her. I mean, she's got multiple matches involving Trish Stratus, and the Trish we see in the first one is not as good as the Trish we see in the second one.
You're never going to be able to say Stratus, are you?
No,
never in a million years. And she shows up in every single women's episode we do.
It's been like 20 years of Trish Stratus being in my life.
Hey, you nailed it. There you go.
It's because I'm consciously aware of it now.
Before we get into the Molly Holly episode, we do have some housekeeping notes, especially the new show that we're going to be doing. It is debuting October 2nd. That is Friday, October 2nd. Every week after SmackDown, we will be bringing you Crossbody Countdown live on Sportscaster. It'll be at Sportscaster under the FPC Wrestling page. The two of us will hop on there. We'll talk about the week in wrestling. Imagine, pardon the interruption, but with these two cool dudes, much less sauce and a lot more wrestling. That's what's going to happen every week on Crossbody Countdown. I'm excited. I'm also thrilled because I'm making you watch Raw.
I hate it. Like, I don't like this. I'm going to watch Raw one week. God. I'm going to end up watching Raw for like 1 week and then just say, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore, and just follow on with Twitter and hope that that's enough.
You can't make me watch this. Raw this week was really bad.
It's so bad that, like, we got Retribution. It's like, that's Mia Yim. That's so clearly Mia Yim.
No, this is T-Bone or T-Bar or Slapjack.
It's like, dude, and who's Mace?
Money Mace.
Which one is Mace? Is Money Mace?
Oh, that's Dio Madden.
Dio Madden signed with Bad Boy Records? When did this happen?
Diddy's always scouting. He's always looking for new talent.
I hope
people really understand our late 90s hip-hop references, because that's why you come to the podcast, right?
Yeah, I mean, that and crappy takes on wrestling.
That's exactly it. Also, a reminder that our merch table is open, fullpressshop.com. Order your shirts today. Send us photos if you do buy the shirts. We'd love to see it on the social medias. You can follow us on social media at CrossbodyWork on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll plug our own socials later in the episode. Let's get right into it. Do you know that Molly Holly was in WCW?
What?
Molly Holly was in WCW pre-WWE.
I thought that the only people that were in WCW that were women were like the ones that were rather promiscuous with their look.
Like Major Guns?
Like Major Guns or Trish Stratus. Or I just messed it up again.
Trish
wasn't
in WCW.
No, I don't think she was in WCW proper, but wasn't she signed to WCW?
I don't think so. I think she was considered.
I'm thinking of Stacy Keibler.
Stacy Keibler was Miss Hancock. Yeah, she was in there. Tori Wilson was there.
Yeah, Tori. All the blondes, basically.
Except they had some. They had some women wrestlers. They had Daphne. They did have Miss Elizabeth, and she wrestled for a while. But they also had Molly Holly. Her real name is Nora Greenwald, and she was in WCW under the name Miss Madness alongside the Macho Man.
Okay.
And then after she split from him, went by the name Mona.
Yeah, this just shows I really did not watch any WCW at all. Like, just ever. Never went back and watched it. The only real experience I have with it is going back and watching particular moments, knowing of these moments because they're famous, or just literally anything we've done on this podcast. That's all I have with WCW. And that's probably all it will ever be.
I knew that doing this podcast, I was going to get more education in wrestling. And then that really came to fruition in my attempt to take the Trivomania Championship this past week on Trivomania 6, presented by Talkmania. That episode should be out by the time that this episode goes out. You can hear me futilely attempt to wrestle the title away from Greg Cherry. I am unsuccessful, but I had a great time doing it. But there were so many questions I got right because of things
we've
watched on the show. Like, there are so many things we've watched on this podcast that then directly influenced my answers. And I did really well, mainly because of this podcast. So I hope people out there know.
I was so ready.
They're smart because they're listening to this podcast.
I'll tell you, I was so ready to
barbershop
turn
me
on you.
Yeah.
You've no idea.
Yeah, I was about so to get ready. Tossed through the window.
J-Bug would have gotten a message immediately. Yeah. Let me on. I need to turn on Evan right now.
It would have made this show real awkward. After WCW went out of business, or I think just before WCW went out of business, Nora Greenwald was brought into WWF. She was WWF at the time. And under the name Molly Holly, and was debuted as the other Holly cousin, alongside obviously Crash and Hardcore. Which leads into
which I love those guys, the super heavyweights.
Yes, I did love when they bring the scale. It's something I remember vividly from old WWE games, was Crash Holly walking to the ring with his scale. Elroy Jetson. Speaking of Elroy Jetson, that leads into our first match. It is a trios match. Of course, they would never call it that in 2001, but it's from Raw on June 11th, 2001. It is the Holly cousins, so Hardcore, Crash, and Molly, versus the Dudley Boys. It is Bubba Ray, D-Von, and Spike. And the weird thing that neither of us knew was happening in this, and neither of us remembered, was that Molly and Spike had like a Romeo and Juliet star-crossed lovers thing going on here. I had no idea.
Yeah. It's funny, because, my first note is I love Spike Dudley, which I do. But it was weird hearing Paul Heyman, who's on commentary. I don't understand why Paul Heyman didn't do more commentary. I understand that him and JR hated each other. But, like, I mean, does anyone really like Jerry Lee King Lawler? Anyways.
Yeah.
He was just going on. It's like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, Kareem and Magic, just like all these references. And then he just goes, JR and his first seven wives. And then there's like awkward silence. And then he goes, you're welcome. I love Paul Heyman.
Taking pot shots. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Also, commentary hypes up the sponsors for this week's for like that week's episode of Raw, which are like Castrol GTX and something else. And one of them is Fast and the Furious. Like, the first movie is coming out. This is a match from pre Fast and the Furious, which, like, I didn't realize was a world that existed. There have been so many Fast and the Furious movies.
I am the biggest Fast and the Furious mark in the world.
Really?
I've seen every single one. Even Tokyo Drift, I've seen every single one. Multiple times. Fast Five, I legitimately think, is one of the five greatest action movies of all time. It's also just like a legitimately good movie. On top of it being a Fast and Furious movie, I was extremely disappointed when Fast 9 got postponed It's also going to have John Cena, so it's relevant to wrestling people for all those asking, why is he talking about
Fast and Furious? Did you watch Hobbs and Shaw?
I did. I loved Hobbs and Shaw. I watched it with my father in theaters. It was his favorite movie of the year. My dad doesn't care about anything. He just loves action. Like, his favorite actor is Arnold Schwarzenegger. His favorite movie is Commando. Like, if things blow up and there's a lot of gunfire, my dad loves it.
It's a great movie. So, going into this match, Molly Holly and Spike both didn't want to actually participate. And, like, their teammates are yelling at them to fight each other. Like, they don't care that they love each other or that they're into each other. They want them to beat the crap out of one another, which, like, what a way to support your friends in a healthy relationship.
I mean, I hope my friends do the same thing to me. I don't know.
That's your girlfriend, Scoop Slammer.
But she's tougher than me. Anyways, yeah, I mean, it's just, this match just really showed Bubba just doesn't like women. He really doesn't.
He yells, "Punch her in the damn head," to Spike.
Like,
who doesn't? For, like, you know, give him credit, I guess. He doesn't beat up a woman.
Yeah, and then he just gives her the Bubba Ray death stare at one point when they're, like, outside of the ring. There's a lot of that. This match also, like, reaffirmed, I really love Hardcore Holly.
He is Hardcore Holly's stiff.
Great. Yeah, but he's, like, he's just got this, like, that uncle that kind of scares you vibes.
Mm-hmm. He's a scary man.
Everyone's got that one uncle.
I like, you know, that he tags himself in and then absolutely demolishes Spike.
Yeah, my. Yeah, it was when Molly was in the ring. He tags himself in, and then my note was, Hardcore ain't having none of this shit.
Nope. He'd a whoop ass. Weirdly, for this being a Molly Holly episode in a Molly Holly match, Molly doesn't do a lot. She does a lot of acting in this one, not a lot of wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's cool because it's basically just the Holly cousins against the Dudley boys, but it's bad in that, yeah, it's a Molly Holly episode and there's like 2 seconds of in-ring time for Molly Holly. But yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I enjoyed it. And it's also an important thing to do here because Molly Holly, it's very clear that she was one of the Holly cousins. So we kind of do have to incorporate that somehow.
She didn't have many standout matches as a Holly cousin. Like, when this was her whole gimmick, she didn't get a lot of time to shine.
Yeah. I'm fighting the urge so hard to not make my own version of Buddy Holly by Weezer right now. It's really hard.
Rivers Cuomo will get in contact with us and make us take it down. He's not doing anything.
Anyways,
else.
As far as the in-ring goes, there was a wazza.
Which is a weird move. Just a weird move to be like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to taunt them by holding their legs up. And then you go up top there, Devon, and you slam your forehead into his dick.
While we go, wazza.
Well, we make a reference that came out in, like, 1999.
Yeah, wasn't it? They said they were watching some sort of commercial.
Yeah, it's a Bud Light or Budweiser commercial.
I only know it from the first Scary Movie, where the scream, the guy goes, or the Ghostface guy goes, wazza. When they're all on the phone.
There are very few times, because you and I, we've mentioned before, we're about 5 years apart in age. There are very few things where, like, I know it and you don't. Like, we rarely come across them, but this is one that I remember seeing on TV and thinking was very funny because I was, like, 8 years old when it was on TV. But, yeah, you would have totally missed the actual commercial.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did a revamp of it a couple Super Bowls ago. Which I remember wasn't popular because everyone's like, yeah, it hasn't left for 18 years. There are still people doing this. Don't bring it back.
I love the Super Bowl commercial. The Super Bowl commercials are my favorite part of the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. Anyways, back to the match. They get tables. Tables are happening because it's a double.
Yeah, Devon got the tables. 3D on Crash, which looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
I always like it when they do it to smaller people because it looks like it kind of hurts.
And they get them up there so high.
Yeah, Devon just is able to just... Devon, like, kind of just, like, tosses them up, too.
Yeah, for big guys, Devon just kind of, like, falls back with them, where big, small guys, he can, like, boost them up.
Yeah. And the Dudleys win on that. This match is literally, like, 4 minutes long, if that.
Yeah, and it's over without Molly really wrestling, but she is acting, and she is, you can tell, conflicted about what she has to do being in the match.
Yeah, and then right after that, Hardcore comes in, hits a couple Alabama slams. Great Hardcore move. And, yeah, I love it. Hardcore and Bubba were just fighting on the apron, and then Hardcore is just like, you know what? We're going through this table. And
we're
going
to do it together.
And then Molly and Spike make out.
Yep, they meet in the middle of the ring. They kiss, storybook ending. Weird match, I know, to start a Molly Holly episode, but I honestly thought that, like, her acting for... I always grade acting in wrestling on a scale, like on a curve, because they're really good at telling stories with their bodies in terms of the actual wrestling action. And I also know that they're getting scripts usually and you know, instructions from Vince McMahon, who I don't think is, aside from being the Mr. McMahon character, does not know how to act. Doesn't know how other people... He can act, he can ham himself up. I don't think he knows how other people are supposed to act. I don't think he knows how normal humans talk. So I was for a wrestler, Molly Holly had really good emotions in this one. Like, she had good facial expressions. She's able to, like, tell a story. I think she acted better than Spike did.
That's not a high bar.
Spike just looked a little confused.
I love Spike. Anyways, speaking of the acting thing, though, it, like, kind of the when I think of bad acting in wrestling, the first example that comes up to my head isn't a bad promo, because a bad promo is different from bad acting. The worst acting, you remember a couple years back when AJ Lee was cutting that promo on the Bellas? And then she goes, talent isn't sexually transmitted. And the Bellas are just like, say that to my face. Say that to my face.
Which, that's... I forget which way it goes. One of them yelled at the other one when they were feuding with each other that they should have died in the womb. And that is the peak of
Nikki bad yelled that to Brie.
That's the peak of bad wrestling acting right there. I wish you died in the womb.
But that was a promo. Although she did say it terribly, but that was a promo. We don't count those. We count the reaction to promos, which is why I'm saying that specific example. Also, Brie, Nikki, if you're listening to this, please don't go into acting. You're really bad at it.
Continue with your podcast and your reality show and your wonderful children and your seemingly lovely families.
Yeah.
Continue
Brie,
to
you're doing
help
great
Daniel
things for the environment. Yeah. Nikki, I'm sure you're doing stuff as well.
You're dancing with the stars.
And... I mean, she's doing more than dancing.
Let's move on to our promo. And instead of an actual Molly promo, it's, I think, one of the most memorable Molly Holly moments of her whole career.
It's the most memorable moment of my life.
After she was a Holly cousin, she came back as Mighty Molly, the sidekick to the Hurricane. The first sidekick, I believe, because then he gets Rosie later.
Yeah. She was first, and then there was like a weird little triple thing with Rosie, and then she just stopped.
Rosie, the superhero in training, because his shirt said shit, and wrestling is subtle.
I love everything about Hurricane and all of the part, and just the gimmick in general. The Hurricane was awesome. Like, I don't
Hurricane
know.
Hurricane is somebody that we put an ask out on Twitter. What episodes we should do, and somebody said we should do a Hurricane episode or a Gregory Helms episode soon.
Yes, and that is absolutely in the pipeline. Gregory Helms, when he was the Cruiserweight champion in like 2006-07, whenever that was awesome. The Hurricane, he was amazing. I mean, the guy had one of the most entertaining matches I've ever seen with The Rock. I think it was on a Raw.
Yep.
And like, literally nothing is more iconic to me in wrestling other than the Stone Cold anything. Like, nothing is more iconic than, what's up with that?
It is a great catchphrase. Plus, if we do a Gregory Helms episode, we get to do Three Count, the greatest wrestling gimmick of all time.
We will mention Three Count, but I swear if you put Three Count on a count on there, I'm going... Count. I am not... I will refuse to do that, and I will watch another match and then talk about that match
there
instead.
There is a Three Count ladder match against Jung Dragons that is going to be on there. It's going to happen. So this is from WrestleMania 18. And Hurricane has won the Hardcore Championship. And this is the 24/7 Hardcore Championship, aka what the 24/7 title aspires to be, but clearly isn't.
Will never be.
Hurricane is being interviewed in the parking garage by the coach. He hits the, what's up with that? It's great. And Molly tries to point out the Huracycle to him, which I would have loved to see. And instead... clocks him with a frying pan to the noggin.
Absolutely decks him. You hear the whack and everything.
You hear the whack. ref sneaks in, Molly gets the pin, she's the champ, it's great. Instead of herself going to the Molly cycle, goes back into the building. Poor idea.
Yeah, very poor decision. And we'll see that in a little bit here, because Evan, what comes next?
One of the best bumps I've seen in a very long time, because it looks like it legitimately hurts. Molly is sneaking through hallways, and she gets to one of those doors that can open both half door or full door, and the door is slammed in her face. The one half of the door comes swinging into her face, and she drops to the ground. And who is revealed behind the door? It's Christian. And Christian is the best. He gets the pin. Have you seen a lot of the old 24/7 Hardcore Championship moments?
Oh, I've seen so much of the Hardcore Championship stuff. So much of it.
What is your favorite Hardcore Championship moment?
Steve Blackman.
Anything he did.
Yeah. Honestly, it's probably the Steve Blackman one, and it was really good. There was one on, are you talking about Hardcore in general, like, or just specifically the It Can Be Won Anywhere?
The It Can Be Won Anywhere part of it.
Oh, Hurricane. The Hurricane winning it literally earlier in that night was the best. Anything Hurricane is awesome, I'm telling you.
Mine is when Crash runs away from Mosh and Thrasher through the, like, arcade or the amusement
park.
Oh,
yeah.
That's really good.
I remember that.
And then I don't remember if it's Briscoe or Patterson, but one of them wins it by pinning somebody when they're sleeping.
And I think it's Briscoe.
And it's just, I remember giggling.
Wait,
like a
doesn't
little,
Briscoe win it from Patterson while he's sleeping?
I think that sounds right. And if we're wrong, somebody correct us. But I remember giggling like a little idiot the first time I saw that. I thought it was the funniest thing. I was like,
I love the Hardcore title. Everything about the Hardcore title was awesome, and then they brought it back, and it sucks so fucking hard.
It's not
just the
same.
R-Truth. We got to get R-Truth on TV title.
Which, you know what? You're right. You do have to get R-Truth on TV because he's excellent, but this is not the way to do it.
Yeah, just make him the host of, like, Raw Talk or something. And
which
then
he is.
Oh, shit.
Also, do you know how bad I feel? Because we came up with the idea for doing Crossbody Countdown a little while ago, and then WWE announced that they're bringing back Talking Smack. And it's Kayla Braxton and Austin Creed. Austin Creed, who I love dearly. Kayla Braxton, who is wonderful.
I don't watch it.
And now it's going to be on the same time as our show. You should watch us or listen to us instead of
You can listen
to them later.
Yeah, we're not corporate shills like they are.
Shots fired.
I don't have a gaming account that is completely dictated by WWE.
Ooh, this is Javier Schutz on Austin Creed. I love it.
I still love the show, though.
I still love the show. Up, up, down, down, baby. Keep it tight. Yeah, this is all about Molly Holly, right? We're circling back to that eventually.
Again, we'll get
moment.
Back to it because, again, like, she's just a good hand.
Yeah, this is an excellent moment. One of my most favorite Molly Holly moments, for sure. The way she always hammed it up with Hurricane was always fun. I wish that this was longer lived, but I do appreciate how Molly turns around as a heel.
Yeah. I really do, too. I mean, Molly Holly, if you really think about it, like, she was kind of just, like, to a much lesser degree, she was, like, OG Bailey. In that, she was just, like, this wholesome, lovable character. Yeah. She was sometimes funny. The people were definitely behind her. And then she has a heel turn later on, which we will get to.
We're going to take our first break. When we get back, we're going to look at our first dose of heel Molly Holly. Back from the break, our first match of this next set is against Trish Stratus, King of the Ring 2002. This is right after Molly Holly turned heel. She became a heel. She cut her hair a little bit. She dyed her hair brown. It used to be bleach blonde. Started admonishing the women for wearing skimpy clothing and using their assets to get ahead, and she was much more covered up than the rest of them. Apparently, she won a match against Trish 2 weeks before this with the Molly go-round, which is an interesting finisher. It's just an.
I love
top
the Molly go around.
Like flipping senton. It's a good move.
Yeah, she literally just does a front flip off the top rope and just sits on you.
A lot of this feud and a lot of women's feuds in the early to mid 2000s is based on body image, and we wish that it wasn't because, you know, as we have seen in the Women's Evolution, trademark, women are capable of much more complex and involve storylines than just you look different than me, I'm gonna make fun of you. Yeah. Or you were my friend and now you're a bitch.
I wish that it was more. Or you should have died in the womb.
Or because you should have died in the womb. I wish there was more of that or more to this feud than there is, but it truly is a lot about body image and Molly shaming people for having a little bit more sexuality to them. It's not great.
Although I will say, to a certain extent, I think it's a good storyline because it's like, hey, I'm trying to be successful based on my wrestling.
Yes, it is very much the way that, like, when certain male wrestlers don't have a lot of personality because they're just about, like, the craft of wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Timothy Thatcher doesn't need more personality than, like, I am about wrestling. I can out-wrestle you. Like, that's his whole shtick.
I'm going to fold you into a pretzel and chop your legs off.
And Molly did have the wrestling acumen to be the one who's like, I'm the best wrestler here. Why? Yeah. It did feel a little bit like an extension of Right to Censor version Ivory, but I think Molly brought her own spin to it.
Yeah, and it made a lot of sense here because, I mean, Trish was probably the perfect person for her to go up against because Trish is also good. Like, by this point, she'd gotten a lot better at wrestling. And she really was the face of the women's division. But, yeah, like, even though she was now wearing the longer pants and, you know, she really was focusing more on the in-ring stuff rather than her image, you know, it's still one of those things where, like, you were still a fitness model. Like, you are very openly...
You're not a wrestler.
Attractive.
Right?
You know?
You're not like, a pure wrestler like I am.
Yeah. Molly's like, I'm wearing a shirt that doesn't expose me at all, super long pants, and I'm going to kick your ass.
I'm going to whoop you. Yeah. This is also Trish without the iconic music. It was very confusing.
I couldn't do it. I hated that. I skipped it. I did the 10-second skip, kept doing it until it was gone.
So strange. I also love that Trish is so pissed off at Molly that she whips the cowboy hat at her right away.
Yeah.
Love that energy.
I also need to know, why is Trish Stratus wearing a cowboy hat? Are there cowboys in Canada?
There are cowboys in Canada. There's lots of cowboys in Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Y'all aren't just Mounties?
If you go straight up from, like, the Midwest, you know, like the Dakotas and Montana and up that... In Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, we got tons of cowboys.
Wow. Yeah. Are they also like...
Well, like the Calgary...
Wait, but she's not from that area. Is she from Toronto?
She is from Toronto, but you know, you can still appreciate that cowboy lifestyle.
I mean, yeah, I like Woody the Cowboy too. I'm not wearing a cowboy hat.
There's a snake in my boot.
Anyways.
Throwing me off.
Right when the bell... rings, Molly goes after Trish immediately.
Yep.
She's not having any of it. Trish is being held back by the ref because she wants to go right at Molly, but Molly turns the tables on her. Trish does this really cool spot that I would not have expected where she gets on Molly's shoulders. They're both facing the same direction. And she just rolls into a victory roll.
Yeah.
For a near fall.
Something I didn't know that Trish had in her arsenal, especially at 2002.
Yeah.
Like, I was surprised.
Molly rolls out of the ring right after that, and then Trish follows, and Molly just, hey, I'm going to start beating you up now.
Going to whoop you, yep.
Throws her over the barricade at one point there, too, which is pretty cool.
And pulls her back over by her hair?
Yeah.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah, and a little later on in the match, Trish does that cool little Hurricane Rana that she does where she, like, grabs onto the bottom rope.
Yeah,
and sort of does a headstand up and then just grabs a person by just wrapping her ankles around the sides of their head, basically, and I'm just moving forward so they fall.
Also, that's right after that. Trish chops Molly so hard that she loses her elbow pad.
Yeah.
I was like, that's got some force to it.
And I didn't see the referee kick it out, but then it was gone, and I'm like...
He picked it up. Ref picked it up.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Move I really liked, Molly Holly's German suplex.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Trish goes for a stratisfaction, but Molly just pushes it, like, breaks out, pushes her into the ropes. Trish comes back, German suplex into a pin, Frisian German.
With a really late kick out.
Really late. I genuinely thought that was going to be the finish.
I always get a little thrown off when you can clearly see the referee had to slow up their hand. Like... You could see the ref kind of like, one, two, like there was a little hesitation.
Was this Charles Robinson? Was Charles Robinson the ref for this match?
It was either Charles Robinson or Jack Doan. I don't remember.
I think it was Lil Nate.
Lil Nate? Chuck?
Yeah, I mean, then it really goes into the finish. Molly goes for a Molly go around. Trish rolls, moves out of the way. Trish rolls her up immediately, but Molly rolls through that and grabs the tights for the win and the title.
This is another time that the thing I get confused about sometimes is when people are using the tights, but there really isn't like a seam to grab onto on the tights.
Like, yeah,
Trish's tights were higher than where Molly was grabbing them, so she was just grabbing like a piece of fabric. Like, it didn't make sense. That's not the thing that's really going to hold you down. I don't know. I think you got to coordinate a little bit better if you're going to use the tights grab.
Just do that, but do like the just literally sit back a little bit so that you pin her legs down and she's not at like jackknife the pin basically.
Or if you really want to do the heel thing, like do use that the pin rope. Right by the rope and use the rope exactly. This is Molly Holly's first women's championship reign. She has two
and
in total.
It just so happened we get to talk about King of the Ring 2002 and the excellent Rob Van Dam versus Brock Lesnar match in the finals, where Brock Lesnar just brutalized and murdered our little flippy boy.
Look how they massacred my boy.
And then he went on to SummerSlam to destroy The Rock. 2002 was
the year of Brock. Does Brock Lesnar have the best rookie year of all time?
Absolutely. I know that's controversial because, like, Seth Rollins... not Seth Rollins. Why did I say Seth Rollins? Kurt Angle. AJ Styles is in discussion as well.
Yeah, Styles is somebody I think people forget about for having an amazing rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, the guy debuted in the Royal Rumble match, and literally a year later, he puts on one of the greatest matches of all time with John Cena.
And I think the reason people forget is because it's hard to think of AJ Styles as a rookie in anything. The man's been around, right?
He came to the company when he was like 38.
But I always go for Kurt Angle. I think Kurt Angle's run is better in terms of character, the ability to develop character over a first year compared to Brock. But Brock's level of dominance was insane.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you go from... The thing with Brock that I will say is Brock Lesnar went from destroying the guys during a hardcore match to main eventing WrestleMania the following year.
Doesn't he destroy Spike Dudley in one of his first matches?
Yeah, that was the one where he just power bombs him.
To death.
Like, to death, basically. Yeah, that's the first night, I think. He puts him through that trash can, too.
Poor Spike.
And then, he goes on, winks King of the Ring. He gets Paul Heyman with him, destroys The Rock. There's just so much to it. Like, and then, obviously, the main event of WrestleMania against Kurt Angle. You know, an excellent match. Botch, shooting star press aside. Which, the fact that Brock Lesnar even got that far on a shooting star press is a miracle in its own right.
The fact that man walked away after what he did to his neck is incredible.
And I've seen him hit it because in OVW, that was his finisher.
Yeah.
He hits it so cleanly. And that is a big man.
His flip has like snap to it.
Everything Brock Lesnar does has snap to it. I love Young Brock. Young Brock was awesome.
Let's talk more about Molly Holly because we keep getting sidetracked, but that is like really the MO of this podcast.
Unforgiven, 2002?
Unforgiven 2003. And this is now three of these four women in this tag match we have done episodes on. We're doing our Molly Holly episode here.
Yeah.
We've covered Gail Kim before, and we've covered Trish Stratus before. The only one who's missing is Lita. So it's
Molly Holly and
Gail Kim versus Lita and Trish Stratus. Unforgiven 03. This is Lita's comeback after neck surgery, her first match since April 2002.
Yeah, I mean, which is crazy. I think about Lita's injury, and I'm like, how the fuck did she keep going for another 3 years?
Her injury, did it happen on that accordion bump she took with Trish Stratus?
That
bump always scares me.
It happened during a match. It wasn't like one of those build-up things.
During a TV show. She was filming something, and she got hurt. Yeah.
To be fair, I feel like that could be the case, and then she just, mess herself up even more later on down the line. But the story I always hear is she asked Stone Cold for advice when it comes to the neck stuff, and he was, like, giving her everything that she should say, and he's just like, hey, just go under the knife, worst thing, you lose a year, you'll come back even stronger, fans will be behind you, and damn, were the fans behind her.
Did you know what Lita did in the interim? I did some Googling. You know what her role was?
No.
She did commentary on Heat.
Lita was in a speaking role?
That confused me too. Lita was on Heat doing commentary.
She was on commentary for the first Mae Young Classic, right?
Yes.
She was awful.
Commentary is not Lita's strong suit.
Speaking is not Lita's strong suit. I love Lita.
She's a really personable person in interviews. She seems like a really fun person. Commentary is not her bag.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Jeff Hardy. You know, you love Jeff Hardy. Everything about Jeff Hardy is awesome. The last thing I want to do is listen to Jeff Hardy. Like, I would love to hear him sing. Jeff Hardy's a good singer. Great singer.
Is he, though?
Oh, come on. Don't you see the writing on the wall?
His music is not for me. This is also Gail Kim's first pay-per-view appearance. Like I mentioned, we've covered her before. Go back and listen. It's an excellent episode. And Molly Holly is women's champion at this time. This is part of her longer reign as women's champion. 210 days total.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's a long
That makes sense, though.
Reign. Yeah, she had it for a while. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, almost immediately, Molly and Gail go on the attack. Like, literally right as the bell starts. Little down the road, Trish hits a chick kick that wasn't called out by commentary. I don't like that. For a near fall. Which is weird, considering that's literally one of her finishers.
Was that the when she did the Matrix dodge?
Yeah, right after that, she hits a chip kick.
Love that dodge. I also love that Trish is in her all-white Diddy party outfit. That's two P. Diddy references on one podcast. That's never happened.
And there
before.
Will be more. That's the sad part about it.
That's right. We're going to sign off tonight with Bad Boys for Life. Now,
because it's Bad Boys. Anyways.
I want to talk about Jerry the King Lawler because it's my favorite pastime on this podcast.
Go ahead.
Shit on things that Jerry the King Lawler says. JR is talking about the wonderful comeback that Lita has made from neck surgery and the fact that she has a scar. And Jerry the King Lawler says, I tried to show her my vasectomy scar. Jesus Christ, King. Like,
I did not hear that.
That is just indecent exposure. And if you think it's pretty decent, watching, you're full of shit.
I think I was watching this while the Lakers-Nuggets game was going on. So I wasn't really paying attention to commentary.
That was for your benefit.
Yeah, you,
much better.
We got to talk about this because I hate it so much. So iOS 14 came out on the iPhone. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's the best. I can watch any video thing that isn't YouTube just on a little corner. I close out of the thing. I'm able to play games while watching Fuck That's Delicious, the Action Bronson food show on Hulu. Could do that. Could go on Netflix, watch whatever I want. Go on HBO Max, watch whatever I want. Literally anything except YouTube, which makes sense because, you know, YouTube has its... What is it? YouTube Red, which you basically have to pay for to do that. And apparently the WWE Network app. What the fuck, Vince?
Do you think Vince... What kind of phone do you think Vince McMahon has? How old is it?
The fucking... It's like that... It's a little... It's a red phone that kind of looks like the phone that the Powerpuff Girls get called from.
Like he's got like a rotary phone still?
Yeah. If he even has one.
The idea of that man, like, having a smartphone and being able to use it.
He's got the first BlackBerry. First ever BlackBerry.
100%.
Because I know he sends texts, and I know he calls people.
And I bet he calls Stephanie to set up his phone, because he can't figure it out.
Oh, 100%. 100%. He definitely calls the head of production, which is just the Beaver Boy, whatever his name is. Yeah, that guy. And he's just like, hey, fix my phone.
Beaver Cleaver.
Anyways.
Back to
Molly
the
knocks
Holly
Trish
match.
Out of the ring. Lita tags in, but the ref doesn't see it because he was distracted by Gail Kim. Great tag team psychology here by Molly and Kim. They were really cut off the ring.
Yeah, they were doing great.
It's not like, all right, we're not talking like prime brain busters here.
We're not talking FTR. Like,
yeah, we're talking just they implemented the psychology of cutting the ring in half and, You know, not letting your opponent tag in, having that tension near fall or whatever. Again, this is a 6.5 minute match. Like, you're not going to get a barn burner. Also, Lita just came back from surgery, so.
Also, I feel so bad for Lita. So, at one point, Molly goes around the ring as Trish is trying to get the hot tag, and Molly pulls Lita off the apron, and she goes face first. She did not protect herself. Yeah, she took the
bump so badly.
She might have lost a tooth. Like, she has blood coming from the mouth. She looks like Gangrel.
I think what happened is, you ever, when you were a kid, fall off your bike forward, and then you just, like, land on your chin?
I once had the front wheel of my bike fall off going down a hill. So, yes. Yes, I did.
Fuck.
Yeah. I remember this so vividly. Grade 4 was riding around the neighborhood with my friends. We got near the end. My tire fell off, and I remember it because it went down the hill. And you know those little pathways that connect, like, sidewalks or, like, cul-de-sacs between houses?
Yeah.
It went down one, and I landed right in front of it.
Oh, my God.
So vividly. Yeah.
Did you try to do a wheelie?
No, but, like, I was literally just driving my bike and riding my bike, and it just, like, popped off. It was like, fuck you, and just disappeared.
No, like, after it was gone, did you try doing a wheelie to, like, sustain yourself?
No, it happened so fast that I just, like, went face first and just poof, right down.
Yeah, that's the example where, like, you just fall and you bust up your chin. That's because I feel like it wasn't really her mouth as much as it was her chin. There was a lot of blood down in that area.
When I had it happen, I bit into my upper lip, and so I was bleeding from, like, down my, like, from my upper gums down. It looks pretty gnarly.
Oh, good Lord.
I was a really dumb kid. I lay with my head a lot.
Like, anyway, Lita gets the hot tag, but it wasn't great. But I'll color some slack because it's literally her first real match back from neck surgery.
Lita's never been a great hot tag.
To be fair, how many chances has she had at being the hot tag?
Well, I feel like I associate the hot tag idea with also, like, when she comes in to interfere. Lita is great if she's doing a moonsault or a hurricane run and interfere in a match. Anything else doesn't have the same
beat to it. She does a pretty good twist of fate, I will say.
She did a twist of fate, a reverse twist of fate, this one?
Yeah, it was like a weird neck breaker type deal.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because then she hits the moonsault. Spoiler, spoilers, that's the end of the match. She hits the lead assault, I guess is what it's called, and she pins Molly. Who is the champion?
We like simple booking. Lita pins the champion. That means she gets the title shot later. Makes sense.
And guess when later is? Right now, because the next match.
You're right. But first, we're going to take our last commercial break. When we get back, Lita versus Molly Holly for the women's championship. Back from the break, it is Lita versus Molly Holly, like I said, women's championship at Survivor Series 2003. Now, I was distracted, of course, by things I saw, because what else is new?
This is the Evan segment. He does carry the King Lawler, and he points out things.
Every week I see things, and the first thing I saw was up at the front is an ambulance at the entryway. Do you remember what ambulance match is on this card?
What pay-per-view is this?
Survivor Series 2003.
That was Team Angle versus Team Cena.
Which is an excellent Survivor Series match. Team Angle
versus Team Brock.
Yeah.
I don't remember. No clue.
It involves the world's great, the best wrestler in the world.
The best wrestler in the world.
Sorry. Eddie Guerrero. The best in the world.
Shane McMahon fought Kurt Angle?
Kane.
Kane. Oh, my God. Is that when he electrocuted his balls?
No, that was in the build-up to this, was when he electrocuted his ball sack. Wrestling is so dumb.
But so simple.
But so simple.
Just, hey, these guys don't like each other, so this guy electrocuted that guy's balls.
This is also the same Survivor Series with Team Bischoff versus Team Austin.
Mmm, yeah.
Decent. Decent. And this match, also decent.
Yeah, this match was all right. Considering this is probably like, what, a month after the previous one?
Yep.
It, you know, Lita still freshly back from surgery. Like, and like, you know, you don't expect a performance like that. I know if I freaking broke my neck and had to have surgery and was out for a whole year, I'm not going to look that good a month and a half back into my run.
It is unfortunate that if I did have an injury that caused me to be, like, out of action for a year and a half, my day-to-day life wouldn't change a lot. I don't do a lot of stuff.
Mine would.
Mine's a lot of, like, sitting down, and then I go to work, and I sit down, and I come home, and I sit down. I like to sit.
You gotta stand up.
I'm an inside kid. I like to sit.
Just stand up, watch TV or something. I don't know.
So this is all part of Molly Holly's 210-day reign as women's champion. Early on, Lita with a big suplex early, goes for a corner head scissors, and Molly just lifts her over the top and yeets her to the outside, which, like, this woman just recently broke her neck. Can you give her a little bit of slack?
To be fair, I feel like Lita did make that harder than it had it to be.
She landed pretty hard.
Like, yeah, she landed very hard. But, like, if you notice, after Molly yeets her, she kind of goes flat instead of, like, going feet first.
Yeah, like, she hits with, like, most of her chest and front. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on. At least, like, go down with your feet, land down there. You don't have to do a parkour roll, but, like, it's a little brace yourself kind of moment.
Yeah. Molly with a handspring elbow to Lita, which I, again, did not know was in Molly Holly's
arsenal. No. That hadn't happened yet. Molly Holly starts targeting the neck, and she hits a freaking neck breaker on the outside.
I actually, like, for some reason that didn't click in my brain. Yeah, she does do a really good job targeting the neck. Yeah, a lot of her offense. Yeah.
She does that handspring thing you were talking about, which, yeah, I wasn't expecting that either.
I think the way that I had remembered Molly Holly was I remembered her as a Holly cousin, I remembered her as Mighty Molly, and then I remembered the people against her in this
run. I just remember the Molly go-round. I remember her with Hurricane, and I remember the Molly go-round, and that's pretty much all I remember from that run of her.
I think I literally just remembered that, like, she was somebody who would go up against Trish, and somebody who would go up against Lita, and somebody who would go up against Victoria. Like, she was always the opponent.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest props that I will give to the women of the early 2010s in WWE, it's like, yeah, the Divas thing was, like, not great, but...
You're fighting for a butterfly, but yeah.
I actually cared about women's matches then, you know? Like, they did a good job of getting me invested in them. Like, back then, when I was a really small kid, just only really caring about Eddie Guerrero with John Cena and Brock Lesnar, like...
Great choices.
I don't really care to watch Molly Holly's match. That would kind of be the point where I turn to Cartoon Network to see what's up. Or, like, you know, see what sporting thing is on. Like, it's no... I wouldn't say they're the piss break matches. They're just more like the matches that didn't entertain me as the 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid.
And I truly think part of it is that WWE was not interested in letting women develop more than one-dimensional characters. If you think of Eddie Guerrero, he has so many facets to him. Right? And even, like...
John Cena was a freaking rapper.
Even undercard teams had lots of, like, angles in which they developed, right?
Yeah.
Whereas they really just put, like, Lita is the cool girl. She does cool girl
stuff. She
used
to be with the Hardys.
Cool. Trish, she's the bombshell. Cool. She's next. And then Molly, she's boring and a prude. Next. Like, they were very much like, let's just... check off boxes of we have these types of women and we can mix and match them, whereas they were really pushing a lot more nuance and storytelling in men's characters because that's what they thought people were interested in and not as interested in women's wrestling. And I'm so glad that we have evolved past that and that people realize, like, women should be as multidimensional as your men's wrestlers. You should be putting as much effort into showing who they are as people as, because I think, like, Molly Holly probably could have told even more interesting stories if she was given the opportunity.
And now that I think about it, what really got me invested was the Michelle McCool Layla thing, the Lay Cool. When they were just like characters. They weren't.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really interested in that, really entertained by that. And that's what really got me into women's wrestling. And then, you know, it kind of just evolved there. Obviously, NXT came along a couple years down the pipeline, and it was just like, oh, shit, they're actually really freaking good.
Oh, this is excellent. Oh, women's wrestling can be excellent.
Yeah, and, like, think about the people that I mentioned that really attracted me when I was a kid. It's Brock Lesnar, who is admittedly not a character, but he's a fucking human supervillain. Like, he is Bane in real life. He is the Hulk. The guy is just massive. It's John Cena, who is rapper guy. It's Eddie Guerrero, who is the most charismatic human being of all time. You know?
It's a lot of depth.
Lita has a mini comeback. It's not very long.
I like when she skinned the cat to get to the top rope. That was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Molly
also,
Holly.
Totally unnecessary given where she was at. Like, she did. Yeah, she could have turned around.
Yeah.
It just was like, this is going to look awesome.
I gotta make the people entertained. I gotta make Javier, 5-year-old, 6-year-old Javier, so entertained.
Have you ever, do you steal wrestling terms for like your everyday life? Do you ever refer to things as, in wrestling terms?
Yeah, I say Mark all the time.
I say Pop the Boys all the time. Sometimes I do things for my friends that are strictly to Pop the Boys. Like
I say, like my friends are really into tech stuff. Yeah. So whenever they like mention something tech, I just like say, "Oh, you're a Mark."
Yeah, tech Mark.
Or like you're an Apple Mark. Yeah. I say a lot of Sony Pony thing. I do a lot of rock references too that most of them don't understand. But occasionally there's one that like reached the mainstream. Obviously, like Jabroni, everyone knows that's a rock term.
It's in the dictionary now.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. But as far as like regular usage, I think Mark is probably like the one.
Mine is absolutely Pop the Boys, and if any of my friends does something I don't agree with, I will yell heel turn at them. Like I'll be like, heel turn, you dick. Anyways, the reason I thought about that is because it feels like Lita did the skin the cat just to pop, whether it was to like pop herself or pop the crowd. She's just like, what's something cool I can do right here? It's like you did
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, skin the cat.
Molly Holly hits a nice sidewalk slam, and I looked at that and I was like, you know, I know Evan's more of a fallaway slam guy, but I think
appreciate
like
all
that sidewalks.
I'm an equal opportunity slamist.
Lita hits a power bomb for a near fall.
Yeah,
looked pretty good. Lita hits a side Russian leg sweep and then misses on the moonsault. And Molly goes for hits the Molly go round for a near fall, and she was heated.
Yes, after. She was pissed when Lita kicked out.
And then she exposes the middle turnbuckle at one point. I don't exactly remember.
Hits the Molly ground. Lita kicks out. Molly has a hissy fit. In the middle of her hissy fit, removes the turnbuckle.
Oh, well, there you go. And then she just trips Lita.
Smashes Lita right into the turnbuckle.
I won't call it a drop toe hold because it's not. No. She literally just like tripped her. Lita hits the turnbuckle. Molly wins the match.
Overall, a good bit of storytelling, a good women's wrestling, like a good women's championship match.
And yeah, solid.
Probably some of the best you'll find in this era in terms of WWE being willing to let women have time to tell a story.
Like, which is unfortunate.
A story there. Yeah.
This match was literally the same length as that tag match before this one. And the title match against Trish before that.
I will
like
say,
all of these matches are 6 minutes
long. These matches are super short, and it is a much bigger change from watching all the Bret Hart's matches a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean,
that took chunks of my life.
Half hour Too Cold Scorpio Sabu match. Like
that's true, and it was good.
It was fun, but like
it was
I like
10
these
minutes too long,
matches.
But it was good.
I love these 6 minute matches. They're great. Speaking of 6 minute matches, we have a WrestleMania 6 minute match.
You know the story of this match, correct?
I know that this match exists. I don't know what the story is.
So originally the women's championship was not going to be on the WrestleMania 20 card. They didn't think the story was enough heat. They didn't think that it was good enough. And Molly Holly said, like, I will do anything to get a women's championship match on the card. And then I think it was Molly who pitched the idea of, like, I will do a hair versus championship match. Like, I'll cut my hair to get on this card. And then they were like, okay, bet. And so they did.
Yeah.
And
I like that. To be fair, seeing Molly Holly with long hair is weird. Because I only really know her as the shorter hair.
Yeah.
Molly.
And honestly, she pulls the shorter hair off well.
She pulls it off real well. It looks like her, like, what should be her natural look.
I always find that when people do like big drastic hair transformations, that after a while you're just like, oh no, this is how it should be. Like this is.
Yeah,
this
you didn't say that when I cut all my hair off, did you?
Well, I just missed the mustache.
That's never coming back.
It should though. So, like I said, this is probably one of the most like well-known Molly Holly stories that she was willing to like shave her own head just to get a spot on the WrestleMania card, which I thought is a testament to how seriously she takes WrestleMania and being able to promote the women's division. She had lost the title on a Raw in February to Victoria. So this match is hair versus title. Molly Holly versus Victoria at WrestleMania 20. The first thing you hear, if you click on the link and it has the right start point, is Jerry the King Lawler say that Howard already lost his hair versus hair match. And like, why you gotta be mean to Howard Finkel like that?
Yeah, leave the Fink alone.
Leave the Fink alone.
There is
a really excellent sign in the crowd that has like a little pulley and makes Molly's hair go off.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It looks super cool. I love when people actually put effort into their signs. I think it's great.
Bring back wrestling signs. There aren't enough.
Also, on the last podcast, Too Cold Scorpio, we talked about that Barry Windham is sexy sign that I saw, and I made that my Twitter header now, and I just want people to know that I am committed to the bit. It's still there.
It's still there, man.
Committed to the bit.
I'm going to change mine to Roman is a wank pheasant. But instead, it's going to be Evan is a wank pheasant.
Less great. I hate that.
Anyways, the match starts off with a lot of locking up. A lot of locking up.
Yeah.
I would say like the first minute and a half is just literally them locking up.
There's not a lot to it at the beginning.
Molly slides out.
Your championship is on the line and your hair is on the line. You'd think there'd be a little bit more intensity.
Yeah, Molly slides out. Victoria chases. Molly hits a clothesline. Molly hits a basement drop kick at one point for a near fall. That was mid. Yeah, there's a pretty freaking slow snap power slam by Victoria at one point. You could tell she was going for a snap power slam like how Goldust does it. Yep. But she just couldn't get the snap on it.
And it's weird because Victoria is somebody who always exemplified intensity and energy to me. And at the beginning of this, like on her entrance, it was there. At the beginning of the match, it wasn't. But she does pick it up by the end, which I thought was great. But it was very strange to see her doing things at, like, slower than her normal speed, I think.
Yeah, speaking of slow things that just look terrible, Molly Holly hits an ugly sunset flip powerbomb off the top rope.
I will defend it. The sunset flip itself was bad. I love that she got to her knees before slamming it down. I thought it gave
no,
it extra.
No, because here's the thing. Here's what it's supposed to be. Here's why sunset flip power bombs are not that as dangerous as people probably think they are. Because it's literally, you're not slamming the person. The person's just taking a back bump off the top.
I like that it had the extra oomph. I liked it on going.
Yeah, but here's the thing. She got on her knee. And then, like, they just kind of, like, waited for a sec. And then she, like, Victoria went.
Yeah, because it was intense, I say, backpedaling a little bit on my position.
It wasn't great, Evan.
So I want to talk about the feel of this match. So WrestleMania 20 is obviously one of, like, the most important, most well-known WrestleManias. I hate that they always say, like, it's the 20th anniversary. No, it's the 19th anniversary. But it's back in MSG. When I was watching it, I remember this WrestleMania. I remember it pretty vividly. But I was like, it feels small. In comparison to like current WrestleManias, it feels small. Like it feels much, you know.
It's not now a it's big in stadiums, football stadium.
It's not the same. Yeah. And then I thought about it further and I'm like, oh, this from this WrestleMania that we're watching to our most recent one in real life, like that same distance is the same distance between WrestleMania 20 and WrestleMania 4. So like, it's 16 years of WrestleMania between... Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm old.
So when I was like, wow, why is it so small? Like, you feel like this match just happened. It's been 16 years. That's why it feels so small.
Admittedly, I say these things, but, like, you were also alive during that Bulldog-Brett match.
Yeah, by, like, 4 months.
Still.
Yeah, that's true. I was there. I could have been cheering for Bulldog.
I was born post Austin 316 promo.
Oh, what a world to come into.
Anyways,
now, more complaining, but this time about commentary again. This is a WrestleMania match. It is a women's championship match. If you believe in equality and everything, the women's championship is the women's equivalent of the men's main championship, right?
Yeah.
We are talking about panties on commentary for so fucking long. At one point, Lawler asks JR what panties he wears, and JR entertains him. And, like, just talk about the fucking match that's happening.
JR, please. Put me out of my misery.
I don't want to hear that you go commando, JR. I don't
Anyways,
want that.
Moving on from the gross conversation. Molly sets up for, like, some sort of, like, burning hammer type move. I couldn't really describe it as anything better than that. But Victoria slips out.
Molly was going for the Widow's Peak. She was going for Victoria's move, but she just had it in a weird way.
Oh, yeah, because she kind of picked her up from the side, whereas the Widow's Peak is like a middle.
Yeah, it looked a little different, but no, the commentary did say she was going for the Widow's Peak.
Okay, well, as you could tell, I don't listen to anything that Jerry the King Lawler has to say. Anyways, Victoria slips out, puts on a backslide, and wins the match.
I did not know that that was the finish. I had not seen this match since I watched it live. I was surprised that was the finish. And, of course, Molly gets the hell out of there, because nobody who loses a hair match is going
to
stick
ever around. Wants to lose their head and hair.
So,
think Vince McMahon.
Yes, just like Vince. So Molly tries to run away. She gets to the back and then bursts out, whooping Victoria. Puts Victoria in the chair, tries to get the clippers on and can't, and then gets maced with hairspray. I thought it was funny. I was enjoying it. I thought it was a good time.
Yeah, Molly gets shaved bald.
She gets like a pixie cut bald almost. For a bit, like, they stop shaving her for a little bit, and for like just a brief moment, Molly has one of the best mullets in professional wrestling. It's glorious. It's all business in the front. It's all party in the back. I feel like if I didn't have my day job, I would grow a mullet.
Who had the best mullet in professional wrestling history, in your opinion? You know better than I do.
Ooh. I am so partial to Brian Pillman.
Because
he just
thinking,
had so much volume. But
yeah,
also,
Brian Pillman Jr. had a gray one. Has a gray one.
It wasn't really a mullet, but Isaac Yankum DDS had some mullet-ish hair that was just glorious. Because it was also curly. Like, it was a mess.
What about the Nasties? You don't love the Nasties?
I don't love the Nasty Boys. I also made sure on Trivia Mania to talk about our disdain for Demolition.
Oh, great. How'd that go over?
Apparently, the guys like Demolition, and I just said,
well,
why?
Fuck them.
I just said, why?
If you guys are listening to this podcast, that's
why?
A shitty take.
Explain Demolition to us. We don't get it.
I bet you like Hulk Hogan, too.
No.
Weirdos.
No. We're all anti-Hogan. Obligatory. Fuck Hulk Hogan. What'd you think of the match?
I thought it was all right. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you which one of these five was my favorite match. I could tell you what my favorite match was, the first one, because I got to see Hardcore Holly. But honestly, my favorite thing about this was just the WrestleMania 18 thing, because I just love the Hardcore title. Yeah, but I mean, the best one, maybe the Lita match.
I agree. I think
Lita
the Lita or the Trish singles match were probably my two favorites.
I was more invested in the Lita one just because I mean, she kind of yeets her off the top rope, and after that, I'm like, oh, shit, this match
is
going to get good.
Yeah, it's going to get good.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, it is, as we said at the beginning, Molly, great hand. Just, you know, I feel like she really was kind of handcuffed in what she could do, because the real issue with this episode is not that we were distracted. We really distracted ourselves and talked about other things. It's because, damn, these matches are 6 minute long. Like, there's not much to them.
We agree, and we believe that Molly Holly is one of the like pioneers of the wrestling of women's wrestling, and like one of the foundational pieces that made what we have now possible. It's just a shame that if we go and look back on some of the best moments and matches of her career, they aren't necessarily the wrestling classics that she probably could have given us. Like, the fact that Trish Stratus got to come back and do that SummerSlam match with Charlotte really gave Trish, like, a, like, standout wrestling performance. Because I would argue that before that, Trish had lots of, like, quality matches for the time that don't hold up the same way now that we have such a variety of women's wrestling to choose from. Like,
she did do it to him with Charlotte, though.
She did. She truly did. But there is now so much women's wrestling that is excellent, and women are being given the opportunity to shine in wrestling in a way they never were before, that when you look back on some of these pioneers, you really don't see, you're like, wow, like, where's her, like, 15-minute title offense? Like, nobody got that. No. Nobody got that now.
Yeah, no, it's bad. I think the biggest indictment on how women were treated in this era is Lita's the most popular, and she's the most popular because of the daredevil type stuff that she did, more than her actual matches themselves. You know, like, there are, like, there's a reason why you see Sasha Banks going, yeah, Eddie Guerrero is my guy. You know, there's a reason why Charlotte Flair is talking about Ric Flair, and why, obviously, it was sad
for her. I was going to say, that's her father. Because it's her dad?
But, like, you know, that's her influence. Like, her influence, like, a lot of the women on the roster now were influenced by male wrestlers, and
yeah.
It sucks that we pretty much had this generation that we remember fondly. Like, yeah, Trish is awesome. You know, my opinion up until, you know, I still think she's the greatest of all time. I'm not going to say it's Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch or Sasha or whoever, because they just... They are still so recent in their run. Like, I want
to
see it through to the end.
They still have so much time left to do it all.
Yeah, and I will say, yeah, it's a four-person race to see who the greatest woman of all time is. And
truly,
as of right now, I will say Becky Lynch has gotta be.
I also agree. I think it's
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, Molly would have been awesome. You know, if you could put a Molly Holly in her prime on Monday Night Raw now, she would be a tremendous help for that women's division.
And I think part of it is a lot of the women who didn't have really fleshed out personalities or who were treated as the heels to really just go against the ones who had the more personality. If they were male performers, they were allowed to, because they were allowed to have longer matches and showcase a little bit more of their skills. Like, right now, there are wrestlers who exist who just have, like, I'm a wrestler as their true gimmick. And Molly Holly had a little bit more. I think of Ivory, who did this. I think Jazz was presented in a similar way of, like, just those pure wrestlers who were there to wrestle and out-wrestle you. But since they didn't give women enough time to wrestle, they didn't really get to establish that as a gimmick. They just were the foil for so long.
Yeah, and this is a shitty example because it's the person, but the last match we covered was WrestleMania 20. What was the main event of WrestleMania 20?
Chris Benoit.
Yeah, like, that guy, fuck him, but he was able to make it to literally the peak of wrestling just purely based on his ability. Why couldn't Molly Holly, I'm not saying she's going to main event WrestleMania, but why can't she have a 10-12 minute match at WrestleMania rather than a 6 minute match that, in all honesty, kind of disappointed because the women weren't given enough time to really flesh out a story.
It was disappointing to go back and see what we remembered as being, like, heroic and wonderful performances, not necessarily living up to expectations. I still think that the Lita match and the Trish Stratus match are both excellent. You should watch them. Yeah. The Victoria match is fun, mainly for the end shenanigans.
Yeah, and by all means, just watch all of the hardcore title stuff from Mania 17 and 18.
Watch just all of the hardcore 24/7 championship stuff, because it was...
Yeah, there's probably something about it on the WWE Network, which you can't dual screen on your phone, which is bullshit.
Oh, that wraps up this week's episode. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. I retweet things, mostly the podcast. Evan, go ahead.
I am on Twitter at It7Gomes, ItsEvanGomes. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at CrossBodyOfWork. Let's talk about who we're doing next week, because next week we're going back to New Japan.
Oh, yeah.
We are watching Minoru Suzuki matches, and I am both terrified and delighted.
So we're going to get to it, but for those who don't know, Minoru Suzuki was in Pride, the old MMA promotion in Japan that's quite literally probably the peak of MMA in its history. That guy is fucking terrifying. He is legit, like, what is he now, like 55?
And he's still rocking in the G1.
And he's still going crazy on these dudes. Like, he had a match a couple weeks, I think it was last week. I think it was against Ishii that was excellent by all accounts. I haven't gone back and watched it. I haven't been able to watch any of the G1 yet, but just the fact that he's still going at it is crazy. We got a taste of him in the Tanahashi episode. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to bring Evan into the world of Minoru Suzuki. And just to make it a little better for you, I'll spoil one of the matches now. Just for you, Evan, because I know you'll appreciate it based on who his opponent is. There's a John Moxley match in there.
Yes! I do appreciate that a lot. I feel like by the end of next week, I'm going to be ordering a Suzuki Gun shirt.
Suzuki Gun is awesome. It's him, Zack Sabre Jr. At one point, Lance Archer... what was that?
Is Tai Chi in there?
Yeah, unfortunately, but we don't claim Tai Chi, so. I mean, at one point it was Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Oh, we don't talk about Davey Boy Smith Jr. either, do we?
I don't know.
Is Davey Boy, is he the good, who, no, Teddy Hart, that's who I'm thinking of.
Teddy Hart's the one we don't claim.
Go follow the Is Teddy Hart in Jail Twitter account, because that's always a good follow. Just, you know, so you can keep up with the news. Also, remember to check us out on our new show. This is the last episode that we're going to be airing before the new show starts. Crossbody Countdown on Sportscaster after SmackDown. So around 10:15, we're going to hop on. Join us as we talk about the week in wrestling. We're going to talk about Raw, SmackDown, AEW, NXT, all the wrestling news that's happening. It's probably only going to be like half an hour, 45 minutes of just listening to the boys go rapid fire. It's going to be a good time. Tune in. We'd love to see you. Drop some love in the chat. Share it with your friends. It's going to be on the FPC Wrestling Sportscaster account. Good shit. As normal, yes, we are highlighting different social justice issues at the end of all of our podcasts. This week, there was a new climate clock that was installed in Times Square that tells how long humanity has until the climate crisis is irreversible. So on that super fun note for humanity, in the show notes, you'll see a climate change and biodiversity card with lots of different petitions, information, and things to read. Holy shit, we have 7 years.
Yeah, I think what's most important about this is, hey, people, fucking recycle. Shit, yeah, stop using plastic if you can.
And major companies reusable stop things. Polluting all of our oceans and all of our air.
I know it's a pain in the ass to carry something 10 feet to that trash can over there, but don't leave it just around.
Please read, please sign petitions if you can. Please check all of that out. Also, today we're recording on Wednesday the 23rd. The grand jury, I believe, made their decision in the Breonna Taylor case. We will also be posting a link to the Louisville bail fund.
Apparently, one of the things wasn't murder for the one officer. It's not great.
No, it's not great. We're gonna post some links related to Breonna Taylor. May she rest in peace. Was super tragic. What a downer way to end this episode.
I guess we'll finish off on a wrestling note, but also still kind of sad. Apparently, Animal.
Yes, Animal passed away as well. Of the Road Warriors passed away as we're recording. Well, not as we're recording this, but the day of our recording this. Sad day in the wrestling world, but we brought it back to wrestling. I don't know. Let's wrap this up. Javier, any last words for the people?
Black Lives Matter, and keep fighting the good fight, guys.
We'll see you next week from the Norris Institute.